Workable Tech, Episode 9, recorded February 18th, 2018. You say it's your birthday.
Hello, and welcome to Workable Tech, where we have news, reviews, interviews, and how-tos to make the most of technology in your business and your life. And oh, we have one more thing. Birthday girls. Welcome to Workable Tech.
Hello.
It's Carrie's birthday
today. It's my birthday. I'm so
excited. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, that could be copyrighted. You might want to be careful.
Happy birthday, dear, lovely, wonderful wife, Carrie. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So it's my birthday. I'm so excited. I have my favorite cake from Zoe's. If you haven't had the Yaya's homemade chocolate cake, you don't know what you're missing. And then I ordered myself something for my birthday from Amazon that came in. Oh, got it backwards, sorry. Women in NASA. How cool is that? And I only bought it so that I could have... wrong side. Margaret Hamilton. Margaret Hamilton was a developer. She was a lead developer for the Apollo program. And that little thingamajiggy is based on that picture of her with all the source code for the Apollo program.
Is that stacked up as tall as she?
As tall as she is.
And that's all the source code for the Apollo program.
Did you know that we have... That we have more power in this cell phone than they had in all the Apollo computers. The Apollo
missions. Really?
Right here. That's what I've been told.
What was that written in? COBOL?
You know, I have no idea what it's written in.
I tell you what, COBOL is one long-winded language.
So I'm really excited. Next week I'll show you my little completed Margaret Hamilton.
That's my coding skills back in in the 70s. Did things in COBOL. That's the only thing I know. That and Visual Basic. But anyway, awesome. A little bit of a few other things, but I'm not good at it. I'm not a coder. But that's pretty cool. That's as tall as she was.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's
so cool. So anyway, you ready?
Back then, when you were a programmer,
you really wanted to be a programmer.
That's
right.
Yeah,
you spent a lot of time on that. So, awesome.
All right, cool.
It seems like all our podcasts lately are starting out with this very same news. Turns out there's a new exploit for Spectre and Meltdowns. Jackie's going to tell us about it.
Well, yes. The last one was discovered by an antivirus testing company that runs tests on antivirus and makes sure that they're up to par, so to speak. This one is by Princeton University and NVIDIA, I don't know if it's they both just happened to find the same vulnerability they're working together. My guess is they're working together, but they discovered more exploits for Meltdown and Spectre. So like we said last week or the week before.
And the week before.
This is the can of worms. You know, the people are starting to gain ground on exploiting this. Well, the thing about this particular one that makes it interesting to talk about is the good news is that the patches that we have now are out there could stop these vulnerabilities.
You mean the patches that slow down your computer?
Yes. That is one side effect of these patches, is it will slow down your computer. But I'm willing to bet that unless you're, editing video every day and your job persists of high computational,
probably not going to notice it.
Not going to notice too much. I mean, if you're in a business environment, you're not going to notice that. The patches that we have now will block these vulnerabilities or these
exploits. These new ones.
These new exploits. It will slow your computer down. However, that's good that it blocks it. And we talked about the bad news about these particular exploits. Is the plans that the chip makers have in mind to redesign the chips, the hardware of the chips, you know, to move away from patching the microprocessor code and by redesigning the future processors to be safe against these types of exploits. Well, that current mindset or trend or design to make them safe in the future will not protect these particular vulnerabilities. So what you're talking about
these exploits?
These exploits, okay. What you're talking about is a very complex scenario. You've got the patches of micro code that will stop these new exploits, but the redesign of the chips as at least currently thought to be done will not stop these exploits. So
they're
going to
have to redesign their redesign?
They're going to have to redesign their redesign. That's exactly right. They're going to wind up having to redesign their redesign. Now, interestingly enough, Intel says they've done enough. I have seen here that news last week of the vulnerabilities in Intel processors has driven a wedge between the two even further, forcing Microsoft to do much of the work to patch security holes, and both disagreeing over the extent of the possible disruptions. So basically, you got Microsoft and Intel. We talked about how Microsoft...
They're button heads.
Button heads, how Microsoft disabled the patch that Intel released that slowed the computers down and caused them to
reboot.
So I think they're button heads here. Intel's saying, hey, we've done enough. Microprocessor patch should be
And people
sufficient.
Are finding they're starting to file suits against Intel over this, correct?
I'm sure they are. I didn't.
I think I saw a headline this morning.
Wow, I didn't even thought about that, but
yeah, people have started filing suit against Intel. So I mean, basically, Intel's going to have to. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Intel is going to just have to, you know, cow the way up and say, all right, we screwed up. This is our mistake. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to hire more people, or we're going to have to work extra hours. And trust me, as a programmer, I know that's not an easy thing to say. Just work more hours. We're going to have to do something to get this fixed and redesigned. But again, still not going to. Nobody's going to go out and replace all their devices or all the chips on all their devices. So they're still going to have patches.
Right, and you know, like I was saying last week. There's, as far as, I still don't know what hardware, when we're going to see these chips, supposedly, that's redesigned.
Well, it sounds like Intel's in that way, no hurry. I mean, they're just like,
These redesigned chips, supposedly to be safe against Spectre Meltdown vulnerabilities, when are we going to see them? I don't know. There's no concrete plans. And now this... The release of these new exploits is just going to push that back further. And with Intel saying, at least paraphrasing what is in this article that we'll link to in the show notes, we've done enough. They're just saying the microprocessor should be enough, the code patch. And like I said, don't let this stop you from buying new computers.
Well, and it's, I mean, to, you know, like I said, to be devil's advocate for them, it is going to have to be enough for older devices.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't going to replace their chips.
No one's owning in the business environment is what we try to talk about to our customers a lot of times. It's a different mindset, okay? You got your home computer. He probably likes to game, and that's good. I've played video games before, but that person wants the most up-to-date processor, the most up-to-date graphics card, and it's designed, their gaming rig is designed to just push pixels, so to speak. It's all about high definition graphics and speed and memory and all this power designed to give that gamer or that person using his computer for entertainment the best experience. But in a business environment, it's not about the current experience. It's not about the 30 minute, hour, 2 hours, 8 hour experience. It's about the 8 month, 8 year experience of uptime and downtime. Mm-hmm. It costs the company or the business more money when the computer's down than it does if it was just a little bit slower than your cutting edge.
Well, I mean, and if you think about it, what are most people doing at work? They're email,
mm-hmm.
they're using their web browser,
mm-hmm.
and they're using some kind of productivity software like QuickBooks or Office, and none of those things need the highest cutting edge processors.
And even with that, with Cloudify, with cloud,
mm-hmm.
you're basing all your applications in the cloud, or even locally on an intranet type, situation on premise, everything's running in the browser. That's the push. Office 365 runs in the browser, Word Online.
Well, and that's, like you said, they're not gonna go out and replace these computers anytime soon.
That's right. And we talked about Office 2019, being tied so closely to the cloud. Eventually, you're going to execute a function and it's going to go to the cloud, download that function just to do that format in your documents. It's a different mindset. Nobody's going out to buy new computers when it is time for you to buy new computers for your business. Do not hold off. Go ahead and buy new computers.
Because we don't
know. And it may be just microprocessor code patches.
Because we don't know when the new chips will be ready.
That's right.
Nobody knows.
That's right.
Intel ain't saying.
That's right.
Workable Tech is brought to you by Pro Computer Services. Pro Computer Services provides pain-free IT managed services, supplemental IT support, and website development. You can contact Pro Computer Services at 256-353-4476 or at their website www.pro-computer.com.
Okay, our next story here is about Chrome debuting automatically blocking of annoying ads.
Yep.
I've been waiting for this for a long time, actually.
Yes.
Who doesn't run ad blockers, right? I've run ad blockers for years, but take it away, Kitty.
Let us know
what's happening.
So basically, if you're running Chrome, go out and update it, because the latest updates include the automatic blocking of certain types of ads. Now, it's not going to block all your ads. Standard banner ads, things like that aren't going to get blocked. But these are the annoying ones. So this graphic kind of gives you an idea of which ads we're talking about.
I read somewhere that if your website has more than 30% ads, that it will block those ads.
That's entirely possible. Basically, it's going to block pop-up ads, which is awesome because I hate those.
See, they're right there.
Yep. That's just for mobile.
Density.
That's for mobile. The things that are blocked are different depending on desktop and mobile. Now, both are going to block pop-up ads. Both are going to block these prestigial, I think is how you say it, ads. It's basically where you go to a website and it takes up the whole screen.
And those are annoying.
They're awful. Now on the desktop, it's only going to block them if there's a countdown. I don't know that I've ever seen one with a countdown, but on mobile, it's going to block all of them. And then my favorite one, it's going to block autoplay video and audio. I'm so excited because I hate those. I hate those. Most people hate them. It's going to block the sticky ads, the large sticky ads at the bottom of the screen, which I also absolutely hate. So there's quite a few ads that's going to block. And like I said, this is a big deal because this is, I mean, really the first time I think that a browser developer has said, you know what? We obviously can't rely on y'all to do the unannoying thing. And there's these certain categories of ads that are just super annoying. Everybody hates them. We're just going
to... annoying to be annoying.
Yeah, and we're just going to block them.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest, even those, you know, the ads that come up, and I see them a lot on websites where you go and it comes up and it says, you know, sign up. It's call to action ad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sign up for my mailing list. You know, I'll send you a download, all this stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I can't stand them. A lot of, you know, you see them a lot. You know, there's really no reason for it because all you need to do, you can do a call to action at the very top of your webpage mm-hmm. and make it obvious. You don't have
or to. Or you could link to it.
Right, but.
Yeah, like you could link to a page that has your
right.
form.
And basically, you know, all it does is it interrupts the browsing experience, and there's no reason for that. I think it's going, I mean, people are just going to figure out other ways to be annoying, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But, again, I use Chrome. You use Chrome.
I use Chrome mostly, sometimes Firefox, because I like Firefox's plugins
yeah.
for special things, like if I'm downloading things from sites that, you know, I like their plugins, but
right. So
Chrome is my everyday browser.
A lot of developers use Chrome,
mm-hmm.
and I use it on my phone as well. And I'm already updated it, and I haven't seen a pop-up. It's awesome. I'll have to go to, I'll have to think about, I haven't visited any of the pages that I know have the interstitial ad or pre-stitial ads. I'll have to try that out to see how well that works. I haven't had a video autoplay lately, so that's pretty cool too.
What version Chrome is it that?
There's, I have no idea. I just know it's the latest. So definitely go to your Chrome browser and check for updates and make sure you have the latest and greatest and block all these super annoying ads that everyone hates.
And the easiest way to do that is at the upper right corner of Chrome, you will see three vertical dots.
Mm-hmm.
That's called a hamburger menu, by the way, a little tip. Click that, and at the bottom, you will see help.
Yep.
And that will expand out, and you will see about Google Chrome. When you click about Google Chrome, it will check to see if you're up to date.
Okay.
And if you're not up to date, it will tell you and allow you to update.
Yeah.
And if you are up to date and get a check mark, you're good to go.
Yep.
All right.
So definitely, definitely update your Chrome browser. I think it'll be a nicer browsing experience once you
Yes.
Workable Tech is brought to you by ProAir Services. ProAir Services is veteran-owned and operated and specializes in HVAC and refrigeration installation, maintenance, and repair services for industrial, commercial, and institutional customers in Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Georgia. You can contact them at 256-353-4446 or at their website, www.pro-air.net.
Speaking of ad blockers, turns out that maybe using one could cause some unintended consequences. Jackie's going to tell us about that.
Well, this website, salon.com, a popular news website, and I don't read salon.com personally, but it is pretty popular. Do you read salon.com?
No, I do not.
Okay.
But let me rephrase that. I have read articles on Salon.
Okay.
I don't do it as, it's not like on my daily reads.
So is, if I'm not mistaken, salon.com is one of those that you have to have a subscription to get premium content?
I'm not sure. I don't believe, I know I've never had a subscription to it, so the things I've read have been just, you know, really available.
Well, it may not require a subscription based or to sign
definitely
up.
Definitely ad supported.
But it is ad supported, meaning you have ads. And if you are the type of person that run an ad blocker, which I hope you are, if you're not, you're not listening to our last story. But but obviously, when you go to salon.com, what they're doing is, when they detect you're using an ad blocker, they're presenting a message to the user saying, hey, we notice that you're using an ad blocker.
By the way,
we depend on those ads to support, you know, our website. It takes money. We can tell you if you, and you can, you know, it won't take long for you to figure it out either. If you ever wanted to launch a website, it takes money to host a website.
It takes money,
yeah. Yeah. All this, the domain name, $7 a year, that's why they have ads. And I know it's annoying, but they depend on those ads. If they don't have those ads, in this case, salon.com cannot support itself, and it'll eventually go away. And, you know, the idea is that they have useful information that people want to read there. So they say, hey, please don't use an ad blocker, because we depend on those ads mm-hmm. And if you're using an ad blocker, then we can't go to our advertisers, our customers, and say that this many people have seen it because
people
this many people are blocking them. But they're pretty smart. They say if you insist, and I think this is interesting, if you insist on using the ad blocker anyway, do us a favor and allow us to use crypto mining while you're on our website, on your computer. So you are agreeing to allow them to run code
on your computer
that mines cryptocurrency
for them, not for you,
while you're browsing their articles or their website.
Okay, here's my take on it. Now, I totally understand that sites need revenue, mm-hmm. sites like salon.com. I mean, just think about how many people visit that every day. To support, like you said, hosting costs money, bandwidth costs money.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring people to create your website and create your content costs money. Which is why, I mean, Google's ad blocker's not going to block every ad, because then websites can support themselves. I don't run an ad blocker that blocks every ad, because I know people depend on that revenue. Mm-hmm. I just don't want it to be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there is no way I would let anybody run crypto mining code on my computer, no matter how, you know, unintrusive it's supposed to be, because every week, we listen to a podcast called CyberWire, and almost every week they talk about, here's some crypto mining code that will mess your day up. And I know Salon thinks that their, you know, code won't hurt anybody, but I don't trust it, and there's no way I would let somebody run that on my computer. I just wouldn't.
Well, here's my take on it. First of all, what you're talking about with CyberWire, that podcast, and they're talking about this crypto mining code can mess your day up. They're referring to crypto jacking. Crypto jacking is the method in which bad guys, attackers, hackers, inject code unknowing to you. That's crypto jacking, unknowing to you, into your devices, eat up your CPU time, eat up your memory, and cause your computers to heat up to the point to where you actually pay more in electricity, you can't do other things, your web browsers to a crawl. I mean, there's just, it really affects it. Like you said, it messes your day up big time. And like we talked about, LoPi was the very thing, you know, an Android phone can swell a battery and theoretically explode your cell phone. So yes, it gets hot. I'm at least able to touch mine, so hopefully LoPi is not running out. But what I'm saying here is that's crypto jacking. That's bad. This is different. They're asking you, can I look, please. You're not gonna look at my ads, and I have to make a living, so please.
No, I understand that. But if you were a hacker wanting to mine cryptocurrency, and you want to get on people's computer without them knowing it, half your job's already done if you can attack Salon's code.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's on them.
So all you got to do is inject your code into Salon's code, and then, you got people going, oh, yeah, great, install it. I want to read. And half your job's done. You see what I'm saying? This is why I'm not.
I can see that there's some problems. But here's what I see. Is I'm afraid you may not have, I mean, this is just me. I'm afraid you will not have a choice. Yep. In time, right now, the ratio, first of all, how much money, like none, how much crypto are they gonna make just renting out your CPU while you're on their website? Okay, maybe 1,000 people for 15 minutes a day, maybe 100,000 people, 15 minutes a day, it's still not going to be, you know, the crypto amount of time that you're on there. 15 minutes is no time, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at crypto mining machines, they talk about the output or the yield in terms of weeks and months of 24/7 running. Okay, so I don't know Salon's user base, but even if it's in the millions, I don't know if it's that effective as far as making them money in the crypto world. So I think the ratio is not right. And that's why I think that Bitcoin, although probably will not go away, not probably, no, I know it will not go away because it's the grandfather. Mm-hmm. It's the first. But Ethereum or some of these other cryptocurrencies,
Monero,
Monero. Monero is one that Solana.com is mining, Monero coin. And that's very popular with the hackers too. For some reason, Monero, and I think we talked about it, it's more decentralized, Monero is, yeah. Or something. I can't remember. We talked about it on a previous episode. But my take on this, my view is, you have all these websites, Solana.com, Facebook.com, you got YouTube and Google, you got, the elephant chat room. The elephant chat room. You've never heard of it because it don't exist. I just made it up in my head. But the point being, it's the next chat. You know, it's the newest, best social network out there. And how do they make money?
Ads.
They make money on ads. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ad-supported networks may not be the answer for every website. Websites, any business, whether it be a website running on the web or a street sweeper, they have to diversify, okay? They have to have different income streams. So I see ads and even crypto mining at the same time eventually.
Well, that's what they're doing.
If they can get the ratio right, mm-hmm. where they're making enough to support their website, mm-hmm. to make it worth their while, every website on the web could eventually become, you go to, you're browsing the internet, you're just automatically knowing that you're giving up CPU cycles. It's just part of the process. It's something that you don't have a choice in. I mean, if I'm running Facebook.com and I decide that I'm going to do away with all the ads and I have a way to mine cryptocurrency that's not going to phase the way you browse the web, and it's not going to heat up your computer to the point where it really affects you, where you don't really notice it that much. Sure, why not? You'd be like, hey, I want Facebook without ads. Give it to me. Well, and think about how many users Facebook has and how long people spend on Facebook in a day's time. And it's not just on their computer. It could be on their cell phone and their computer. They're running cryptocurrency.
Still don't trust it.
I don't trust it, but I'm saying,
it's the way of the future.
It's the way of the future. I'm saying one day we're going to face an internet where you're going to do business. The way you do business on the internet will be through cryptocurrency. Real world money will work in the real world. But more and more, cryptocurrency is going to be how you buy products. It's going to how you support websites that you love and want to support. You support them with cryptocurrency. Your use CPU cycles, and eventually, every cryptocurrency is designed to eventually cap out. There will be no more mining of every, you know. Eventually,
they'll have to switch which currency they mine.
They'll have to switch which currency they mine. And all these currencies cannot exist at once. So at some point, governmental is going to step in, regulate this. There's going to be some regulation as far as process and code on preventing it to overtake your computer. There's going to be a lot that has to be done, and it's going to be years and years probably, but eventually we'll be facing, you know, a world, an internet online world where you're just tossing, you know, you're just, cryptocurrency is going to be everywhere, and it's going to be how things are done on the web. And one other thing is, in addition to just making sure code doesn't run rampant on someone's computer and making it unresponsive for them. You know, the what law is it? Is it Moore's law or what? No, it's Moore's law is like if it's going to go bad, it's going. There's a law that I can't think of the law.
You're talking about the one about the processors?
Yes.
Yes, I can't remember what it's called either.
We're on the verge of quantum computing. And that's going to be like 100 times the computing power we see today. So it's going to be like, yeah, whatever. Buy crypto. I don't care. I'm not going to notice it anyway. You know, go for it. As long as you don't have Spectrum Meltdown.
Workable Tech is brought to you by Fieldtech Woodland. Fieldtech Woodland provides CNC machining, metal fabrication, HVAC, and related mechanical services. You can contact them at 256-350-1718 or at their website, fieldtechwoodland.com.
Cryptocurrency, oh, where are you? Everywhere, it seems. Cryptocurrency is now hurting astronomers.
Yes. Sure. The cryptocurrency mining machines use GPUs, which are graphical processors, instead of CPUs because they have higher power. Basically, what's happening now is so many people are trying to mine cryptocurrency, there's shortages on GPUs, and GPUs are also going way up in price. And this doesn't just, you know, affect people who mine cryptocurrency. GPUs are used in gaming machines. It's affecting people who are gamers, but it's also affecting astronomers. So this was this article I read this weekend. Basically, the astronomers rely on the GPUs to do the processing for their telescopes. And they've talked to some astronomers and who are basically having to choose between buying much higher priced GPUs or having additional staff, or they can't find the GPUs at all. And basically, this is where cryptocurrency mining is getting us at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, like I said, just not just gamers that are getting affected.
No, gamers can't afford the new...
The gamers can't afford the new GPUs. The new GPUs. One of the astronomers they interviewed for the article, you know, he originally was spending $1,000 on a GPU. Now they've doubled in price. It's $2,000. He needs a number of them to do, I think they said 315 telescopes. So we're not talking about just one or two GPUs in the first place. And so he's getting priced out of being able to do the expansions that he wants to do in his studies with his telescopes. And it said that even SETI at Home is getting affected. And the manufacturers of the GPUs can't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
People are, I mean, we saw this ourselves. We talked about at one point that some of the original cryptocurrency mining machines were just USB drives. I mean, basically USB, it was a little GPU that plugged into a USB port. And now...
Even before that, you just download a program.
Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, it's not really, going to get you a lot, but we were just going to do it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we found one, and it was like, I forgot, it was like...
$49.
It's like, like $50. Yeah. Then we go back 2 days later when we're ready to buy it. It is over $100.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a USB mining machine.
Right.
And so the GPU market is just getting decimated by mm-hmm. all the cryptocurrency mining that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's having effects that people really hadn't anticipated.
Well, Kenny, one of the things that I've heard is... They're going to have, what company is it? I think it's NVIDIA, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. It's talking about having a line of video cards for gamers to address this, and a line of video cards for crypto miners to address this. The gamers are looking for something in a video card that is a lot more than what the crypto miner needs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to take the gamers and give them more anti-aliasing and all this other type.
That the crypto miners don't care about.
That the crypto miners don't care about. And give them more of the processing power, you know, with that isn't graphics intensive. I'm sure there's some kind of design between the CPUs. Do you think maybe all ATI, NVIDIA, those are the two main players, but all video card or GPU manufacturers, do you think maybe they could design two different kinds of chips?
I mean, they could. I mean, I can see why they would try, but if they run into the same issues where, okay, so they can't keep up with production of crypto mining GPUs, those people will just start buying the gaming GPUs. They're going to buy what they can get their hands on. You remember that we watched the video yesterday? It was about this Chinese crypto mining outfit. I don't know if company's the right word. But it was just amazing, all the computers they had. And he said they had, was it three of these buildings that were just full of computers?
Oh, it's three. I don't know.
It's in three cities.
Yeah.
But you know, the crypto mining people that are really into crypto mining are going to continue to, I'm afraid, buy out all the GPUs, even if they split off. There's got to be. The only way they would keep those keep crypto miners from buying the gaming GPUs is to do something to the GPU so it can't be used for crypto mining. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they'll go that far. But we'll find that video and link to it in the show notes because it was crazy.
So Bitcoin mining.
Yeah.
Motherboardvice.com. Anyway, China's biggest secret Bitcoin mine. This is it right here.
Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But you know, it showed in the video where they just had, you know, just racks and racks and racks and racks of these machines.
They said somewhere like 900.
I have some.
No, 9,000, wasn't it?
I don't remember. It was insane, and like I said, these people are so intent on doing this mining that I don't, unless they were to handicap somehow the GPUs that they're reserving for gamers, the crypto miners will just buy those out once they buy out all the other ones. I just don't think they're going to still be able to keep up with them.
Well, this particular facility says it generated 4,050 Bitcoins a month, equivalent to a monthly gross of $1.5 million.
So it's nothing to them to go out and buy the GPU.
Yeah, it's they just drop in their bucket.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's I mean, it's just.
I think this is going to continue.
Somewhere like and we seen in the video they had a big pile in the corner.
Oh yeah, they just had this pile of computers. So, when the computers stop working, they just throw them up, or not even really computers. I mean,
well, they're Bitcoin mining machines.
They just throw them to the side. Well, they harvest what they can that can be reused, and the rest of it, they just throw to the side. Mm-hmm. They don't even bother to do anything with it and get rid of it because they don't want to take the time it takes away from actually, you know, maintaining the crypto mining machines.
Yeah, the crypto mining machines. One of the things about mining and one thing you learn, or I wouldn't say learn, but one thing about crypto mining that you will learn quickly is those machines take a lot of work to keep running. Those machines run 24/7, very, very hot. I mean, there's people that talk about using crypto mining machines to heat their house.
And like we said, you know, it's very power intensive. It uses a lot of electricity.
And so the power supplies are constantly going out. And so if you've got 900 crypto mining machines going just wide open 24/7, I don't know how often, but I'm sure on a frequent basis, power supply, pop, 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 pop. And you just have to keep replacing those power supplies. When I looked into mining machines, most expensive was the machine itself. Second most expensive part was the power supply for the machine.
So I think, back to the whole GPU issue, I think it's going to continue to cause problems in all kinds of computing, the lack of GPUs, and I don't think that they're going to be able to divide off this line of crypto mining GPUs, because if they can't keep up with production and they haven't done anything to the other line so that it cannot be used for crypto mining, which they're not going to do, then they'll just start buying the other ones too.
Yeah, and the thing is when you're talking about a crypto mining machine, you're not talking about like one GPU. A crypto mining machine is basically a long slender box where they have GPU after GPU after GPU after GPU, as many as they can line up in a row and be able to keep cool enough not to burn up and supply enough power to run as many in each machine as they can. So, I mean, I think I've seen somewhere on the order of 12 GPUs in a mining machine. So you can think about, just to get one crypto mining machine, you're going out and purchasing 12, you know, high-powered GPUs.
Well, and another thing to keep in mind about this is that it's affecting astronomers. Granted, that's probably not the biggest market of for the GPUs in the world, but eventually it's going to start affecting, like I said, it's already affecting gamers, you know, digital artists, people who do a lot of video editing, people who need these GPUs to do their jobs. It's going to start affecting the prices of those computers.
Or even bandwidth. Right, because you got the blockchain.
It's cryptocurrency.
Think about cloud services.
Continue to cause problems. I think
the backbone of the internet and cloud services now, with the added, you know, load of crypto mining as well, sucking up bandwidth that could be used in the business space for the cloud based business. Everything's going to the cloud. And then you got Bitcoin and blockchain. Like, if you spin up a Bitcoin miner, to download friggin' couple gigabytes worth of blockchain.
Oh, I know, it's crazy.
Just before you start mining.
Right.
So. Anyway, that was how Bitcoin mining is affecting
everything.
Astronomers
and gamers.
Well, that was our episode of Workable Tech this week.
The birthday edition.
We did talk a lot about Spectrum Meltdown and Bitcoin mining. And
maybe not next week.
Mate, we're going to try to find some other stories. It just seems to be what's happening.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
It's like every time I turn on, I was like looking into my blog feed, it's like Bitcoin.
Spectre Meltdown.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But that is the important news, apparently. So we're bringing it to you on Workable Tech.
So don't forget, we have a Facebook page. We also have our website. It's workable-tech.com. You can go there. We'll have the show notes that mentions all the articles and videos that we talked about in the show. You can also leave comments and give us story ideas or volunteer to be our first interview victim. I mean, person. So.
We have Skype, so we can interview anybody, anywhere. We encourage you to let us know you're watching. Tell you what. Go right now.
We'll wait.
Go to Facebook.com and give us a comment.
Search for Workable Tech.
And say, Bob Jones.
Because we know somebody in California is watching.
That's right.
According to our stats. Somebody in Maryland's watching. Somebody in Georgia.
We'd like to
Georgia,
get to know
USA,
you.
Tennessee.
Let us know who you are.
Yeah, we have no clue who's watching us in California.
Yeah, I mean, just drop us a note and say, hey, I'm here from California. You got this guy or this girl in California.
Yep.
You know, and I enjoyed this story, or I think that you were to talk about this other thing that you haven't talked about yet.
That's hopefully not about cryptocurrency yes. or Spectrum Meltdown. But
if you have any recommendations, we're here. That's yeah. what we want to do with this podcast, is help you in your business and in your life with technology. Yes. So if you have a question,
or an idea,
let us know.
Please.
We love our audience, and we want
whoever
to,
you are.
Whoever you are.
Have a good week.
Bye. Block all those nasty ass.
I'm gonna have to edit that out.
Nasty ass. Nasty.
That's what I get for figgy birthday cake before we record.